will be Brother Lloyd Gaddy from Phoenix. And I will have Brother Herb Snyder of Sacramento to ask a blessing on this day of convention and upon Brother Gaddy's discourse.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thankfully we come into thy presence, thankful for the blessings of this day, thankful that thou hast so overruled that we may gather together with those of like precious faith, those who have heard the voice of Jesus, those who have heard thy call, those who have covenanted with thee by sacrifice, that we might gather together by the guidance of thy divine Holy Spirit and by thy word of truth to learn more of thy plans and to learn better how to serve thee and serve thy truth. And we pray thy blessing, Father, upon the continued sessions of this convention, that each one might receive the blessing that thou hast in store for us, that we might learn more, that we might grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. We thank thee, Father, for the precious promises that you have given to us, and we thank thee for the labors of love that have made this convention possible. We pray, Father, that thou would bless especially Brother Gaddy as he breaks to us the bread of life, that his tongue and our hearts and minds might be blessed, that we might receive from thee that which thou hast in store for us. And we pray, Father, thy blessing upon each of thy children, the world around, especially those who would have desired to be with us, but for reasons best known to thee, are unable to be here. Suit to each one a special blessing, Father, especially those undergoing trials and affliction, those in isolated circumstances. And Father, we do ask thy forgiveness for our own shortcomings. We pray that we might be strengthened continually by thy Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that we might ever seek thy counsel and apply it on this narrow path. And always, Father, we pray for the promised blessings for the world of mankind, that thy kingdom might soon come, that thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and all will have the opportunity to come to know thee from the least and to the very greatest. And so, Father, into thy hands, into thy care and keeping, we give this day, we give each day, praying that thou would bless us, that we might do that which would be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. And we do give thee thanks, always approaching thy throne of grace, in the name and merit of thy Son, our precious Redeemer and Savior, Christ Jesus.
Amen. We are happy to have Brother and Sister Gaddy with us from Phoenix. We usually associate them with a happy occasion as we attend the Phoenix New Year's Day convention. But we're glad to see that they're able to get here to Asilomar, and we're looking forward to hearing this topic that Brother Gaddy will speak on, our day of small things. Brother Gaddy.
Thank you, Brother Blitchers. Good morning, dear brethren. It's nice to be with you in convention here in Asilomar, this beautiful place. We bring the Christian love and greetings of our class in Phoenix to you. They wish to be remembered and send their special love. As indeed Janelle, Sister Janelle and I are pleased to have been here to enjoy the convention so far. Our day of small things. Really, our day of things that seem small. The scripture in Joel, the third chapter, and verses 9 and 10, says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong." We have seen this. You and I, most of us, have lived to see this prophecy in fulfillment. We have seen World War I, World War II, the Cuban conflict during Kennedy's administration, the Korean conflict, the Vietnam conflict, Israel's war, Iran and Iraq, Argentina now, and England. All of these things that go to tell us that this time is our time. We can't deny prophecy, and neither can the world deny prophecy. When it is stated here that they would beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears, it must be. We're living in a small world, as it were. Much wide and rapid travel. Airplanes that we see, saw on TV the other day, where some of them were able to travel at twice the speed of sound. And just to travel from coast to coast by an airplane is a small thing. It's a commonplace thing to you and I today. The TV communications by satellite. TV has made our world smaller. A time, a day of small things. We have rather accepted this as just commonplace. But we also know that we are placed within a special time period here at the end of the age. The traveling into outer space and coming back from that orbit, which they have been in for several days, to re-enter this Earth's atmosphere and to land on the Earth again. Travel to the moon and back. All of these things you and I have seen and read of within our day. A day of small things. The basis for our talk was taken from Luke, the 16th chapter, and part of verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. As you and I sit here, or are about here in our everyday life, in this crooked and perverse nation, we are obscured almost totally from what is going on in the world so far as the church is concerned. We are a small thing. We are a little thing so far as the peoples of the earth perhaps are concerned. But to God, we are a very special people. A people called out for a particular reason, a special reason. Called out from every nation, kindred, and tongue to be priests and kings. Let us turn to Psalms, the 119th Psalm, verses 139 through 42. As we read, my zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. As these prophetic words were spoken, we might say that they apply to us. We love God's word. We look forward to the fulfillment of His kingdom promised to us. Me in this day do not have the privilege of knowing of the power of our great God and to bring to pass His plans and purposes, as you and I have been let known to receive, that He is going to bring about this great plan of salvation for all mankind, and to share in it, and to be a blessing unto others. We are so small and insignificant to the world that we go about scarcely being noticed. And these verses in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 26 through 29, are appropriate for us. For it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Yes, we are the small, insignificant things so far as the world is concerned. In this day of small things, but God Himself is very pleased to enlighten us and to call us with a heavenly calling, to enlighten us to be capable of the judgment that would be given to us in the age to come. In Numbers, the 16th chapter, we have an example beginning with the 8th and 9th, 10th verses. We would like to read those. And as we read this, we are reminded that Korah was not happy with their being excluded from the priestly detail of the tabernacle arrangement. And we will just read a few of these verses to recall them to our account. "And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And He hath brought thee near to Him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? Korah thought that this detail was too small, that he felt himself above that. We realize that this is not a type of the church in him to do the priestly sacrificing, but God has called us to this high calling of the priestly class. And let us be content and search out the detail of this priestly class to be able to do with our might what our hands find to do. Going on in the beginning of the 28th verse through the 35th verse of this same chapter, showing the details somehow of this account. "And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that Penas unto them. And they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men had provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of the speaking of these words, that the ground clave asunder and was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed 225 men that offered incense. Before in this account, it tells of this, to each one take the incense and so on. Read this chapter at your leisure. We call it to our mind to remind us that we are called with a special calling. Let us not go beyond that for which we are called. Let us not tell of the kingdom's prearrangements that are not here so far. We can only do as the Lord has told us. He has afforded us time to make our calling and election sure. Let us not run ahead of the Lord. Be content with those things that he has given us to do. Preach ye the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to make our calling and election sure, to do within ourselves that work that is necessary. In Jude 11, this same thing is mentioned. It must have been of great importance. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. We only use this as an example of what not to be, but to do ourselves those things that God would have us to do. To uplift our brethren, to be instruments in helping them to know and appreciate the calling that they have, that we have. In Exodus, the 28th chapter, in the first verse, here God appointed Moses, Aaron, and his sons, call them to the priestly class. He has called you and I to the priestly class. Let us do these things that he would have us do, to be filled with the sympathy, the love for God and for his purpose, sympathy for the world of mankind, and love for all. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse, and it says, and no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. That priestly class. We stand openly in the world, hardly recognized by anyone except God. We have but one sacrifice, and that it is to be rendered to the Lord each day and to take advantage of every opportunity as it comes to us to serve him and his truth. We are to remember that this sacrifice consists of many smaller sacrifices, some of perhaps too small to even mention. Nevertheless, it will require all of these to complete the one sacrifice. He that is faithful, which is least, is faithful also in much. Let us be aware of those small things in our, perhaps that seem small, but they are things that will help us to make our calling and election sure. Awareness of our brethren, awareness of the truth, awareness of each other, the needs, the helps, the benefits that we may be able to give them. In Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 41 through 44, is a little detail here of great significance. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. He called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow that cast more hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Example of us giving our all in dedication to God and His theme for us now is the proclamation of the truth, and to be filled with that Spirit of God to make ourselves prepared for this great arrangement in the kingdom at hand. In 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, we have the account of Elijah. I wanted to read a few verses there to bring the comparison to us. Verses 8 through 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, or unto Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and saith, Bringeth me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord hath thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering sticks that I may go and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by Elijah. Those small things, the giving and sharing of all that they have, you and I giving and sharing of that, of what we have. The examples here are beautiful. We recently had an occasion to hear a discourse, and there were people of the world given an illustration. I'd like to share that with you now, a part of it. There was a man, a notable man, that was engaged in politics. It was his life. He ran for office, the Senate, representative, and so on. 7 times he was defeated. He went on, not discouraged, but went on and on until he was finally elected president, the 16th president of the United States. The determination of this great man. We speak of Abraham Lincoln. We think that he was perhaps one of the greatest presidents. Yet he knew defeat. But he had that determination to go on and on and on, even though defeat was evident and a reality to him. There was a young lady at the age of 16 wanted more than anything to be an actress. So her parents sent her away to a school in New York. In a short time, the people there sent her home and told her parents that she had absolutely no acting ability. But this did not discourage this one. She kept on and on until she would go to different places to try out in plays for Broadway and would even have these parts secured that she knew that she was going to appear. But somehow at the last moment, there would be a cancellation. This happened to her several times. She went through a 2-year period where she had an accident of some sort. They thought that she would never walk again. But she went through the agony of the pressures that it took to place weights upon her feet that weigh about 20 pounds to learn to use her limbs again. Until one day, imagine starting out at this early age. This Lucille Ball was 40 years of age before she had anything that became a hit for her. And I Love Lucy has been televised for many, many years, and many people really enjoy that program. Still another one who was a great man in his field of baseball. He went so far as to, when he would come up to the plate, he would swing and the last strike would count him out until he had the record of the most strikeouts. And yet, he was not defeated, because once in a while he would connect with that ball and it would zoom over the fence and he would have a home run. He also became the one that had the most home runs. And all of us are familiar with Babe Ruth. We've heard that name. But he had the extremes, that of defeat and that of winning. This lady showed us a short film, 3 minutes long. I don't know the gentleman's name, but he was born with a defect, many defects. His legs, her feet, were just nubs. And this man was so determined that he would run this marathon, which is 26 miles, that though it was very painful to him, he endured that. And there was only one at the finish line to see him when he was there. But to show the wherewithal that this one had a determination within his very being that he would do this. He's still within himself one. You and I have set a course, a race course. We must have set that race course for not 26 miles, for 10 miles, but for a lifetime. You and I have engaged in a covenant to sacrifice ourselves to the end. Perhaps the two greatest examples we know of as Bible students are our Lord Jesus, almost completely unrecognized, though the things that he did here on earth, the healing and all of this that he went through. He apparently went down in defeat, but you and I know that he was the winner. He paid that ransom price for all the world of mankind. Perhaps the Apostle Paul was next to him. And as we think of the details that we know of in the scriptures, the agony that the Apostle Paul went through to fulfill that which God had called him, to establish the churches, to go on with the work that he had to do, the opposition that he came to, the times that he was beaten and stoned, all of these things you and I know. And apparently, so far as the world was concerned, he went down in defeat. But we know it was not so. It was a small thing that seemingly that he did this, that our Lord gave himself on that notable occasion a ransom for all. The world didn't appreciate that. God completely was overseer of this, and his death took place at a very exacting time and moment in the history of God to taste death for every man. And you and I are here today, still in the flesh, still with the hope that we have to be a part of that little flock, a small company of people, perhaps so insignificant that the world would not know. We can be here amongst them and still not know. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and the 24th verse. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. We want to put forth that great effort, endeavor to receive that prize. We are not running as an example of a race that only one winner, but you and I are running as co-winners with each other, with our Lord. Let us run as though we would receive that prize. And if we are faithful, he is faithful also to give us that crown of righteousness. In Proverbs, the 24th chapter and the 16th verse, we read, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. We saw and reaccounted those that we talked about a few moments ago going down, perhaps in unnoticed and utter defeat. A righteous man raiseth up seven times. Let us not forget to raise up again and again and again. Though we seem to fall, though we seem to fail, let us go to the Word of God and His promises, for they are sure and steadfast, that He would neither leave us nor forsake us at any time. Though we seem to be down, and perhaps someone is pushing on downward, may the stress of the day be such that it seems to press us beyond maybe our standing it. But let us remember the examples of our Lord Jesus, that of the Apostle Paul, and to think of our brethren that have gone on before us, of their zeal and determination to continue to know God and to serve Him and His truth. The words in Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse, says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, press forward to the mark of the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. It will take no little energy, no little detail, but in every small matter to pursue it with our energy the best that we can. And therefore, He would count us as winners in this race. We think of the earth's vast populations, millions of people that have lived upon this earth since Adam's day, well, even into the time of our Lord's day. A little flock. Luke 12:32. Says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think of 144,000 people. Sounds like a staggering number, doesn't it? But that we, as we reevaluate those numbers to Earth's population that has lived and shall live to the end of this dispensation. No, but just a little flock. That's what God's terminology says. A little flock. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, in verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. The terminology of these little ones, insignificant to earth. Matthew 10:42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. These little ones, the small, insignificant people of the world as you and I appear to be, and yet we are called out of this world of darkness into the marvelous light of truth of God, and give it an inspiration to run for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we see these people that we made remarks about a while ago with the drive, this was for an earthly thing. They wanted this to be a personal thing, and they received that recognition. You and I are running for this race, the course to give glory to God, because he has called us with this high calling, that we might glorify his name. You and I feel that close association of kindred minds, the Spirit of God dwelling within us, because God has given you the spirit of sonship. Luke, the 16th chapter, we'll read that part of the text again, 10th verse. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. In this day of small things, the least things that we do in the service of God, it is counted unto us as much. We're not going to do anything dynamically or outstandingly in this earth that people would give us praise, but we are going to endeavor to do those small things, those insignificant, seemingly insignificant things, that it would be pleasing to God. For he is the one that is to give that reward, and we are to be the one to receive it if we're faithful in these small things. In that verse that we read in 1 Corinthians, we are to be, as it says there, the insignificant things, to bring to naught those things that are. How impressive those words are to us. You and I are a part of those small things. And as we review the thoughts of our day and time, the travel, the wars, the day in which we live, the prophetic day in which we live, knowing that this is the day and time of the end, we know that we can see that mark there in front of us. We're on this distant course, but in the distance there we can see, as it were, the finish line. We still have to run by faith. And you and I are endeavoring to do that. But we see so many things that have come to pass in our day. The prophecies that were given, the much and wide and travel. The restoration of Israel into its homeland. The bringing back of that nation, little, small, insignificant nation, back into their homeland. You and I saw that. These are parts of prophecies that have become a living reality that you and I can see. The increase of knowledge that was prophesied at the end of the age. All these things plant us in the time period in which you and I live that was never before appropriate, because that time had not come yet for our brethren that have been faithful down through the age. But they had set their sight on this race course, and they were faithful because they did with their might what their hands found to do at that time. And so today, you and I, we have our eyes on this finish line, so to speak. We're thankful that the Lord has afforded us this time to make our calling and election sure. That the finish line didn't finish back there in 1980, 1972, or wherever it was. Let us run to obtain to that mark of the prize of the high calling and of God in Christ Jesus. We know that it is yet there. That crown of righteousness is still there for us, as he has promised. You and I will attain unto that if we are faithful, because it is said that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for you who are faithful in running this life's course. In conclusion, the phraseology of this scripture in Luke 10:16 make an impression upon our mind that we will carry with us not only today, but tomorrow and the rest of our days in the Lord. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Because God hath accounted that these things, insignificant perhaps to others, but we accounted unto us as much. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Getty, for those very, very helpful thoughts pertaining to our day of small things. Brother Getty, I'd like to first make an announcement that there are some copies of a trip report on the back table here of Brother Richard Evans's trip to Africa and his experiences there. So they're on the table there for the brethren who would like to see what is going on there.
Shall we pray? It is with grateful hearts, our loving Heavenly Father, that we approach to thy throne of grace through the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us as thy children. We're thankful for the privilege of this convention, asking thy continued blessing within each one here to receive that spiritual blessing that we have come here for. To this end, we ask thy special blessing upon the words that were spoken, that we spoke from thy word, that they may have a special bearing upon our life, that we may be motivated to do thy will more fully. Pray thy continued blessing with us in all of our life's affairs, both temporal and spiritual. Continue to pray for thy promised kingdom. We pray for our brethren that would like to have been here but could not for various reasons. And suit a blessing to each one according to thy loving will and thy wisdom as only you can. Ask thy continued blessing in our fellowship together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.